what's happening on the big screen and the small. What to watch.
Yes, Alex Helen Nicholas is with us again. We enjoyed her reviews last time, so here she is joining us once more. Alex, good evening. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Hi, Philip. It's lovely to be here again.
Well, we've got three things. A movie from Netflix, Enola Holmes, another Netflix movie, The Boys in the Band, and something from SBS On Demand, The War of the Worlds. Ah, the H.G. Wells thing. Here we go.
That's
again.
Let's
start with Enola Holmes. What's all this about?
So, look, Enola Holmes is a real treat. This is one of those little oddities that on one hand falls quite neatly under the umbrella of a family film, but it's actually still a really satisfying viewing experience for adults who don't have kids around at all. As the title perhaps suggests, our lead character, Enola Holmes, is related to Sherlock Holmes, Stranger Things star Millie Bobby Brown. I'm not sure if you're a big Stranger Things fan. She's quite the star in that part of fandom. She plays Sherlock's little sister.
He had a little sister.
He does, and her name's Enola, right. Which is alone spelt backwards, she tells us. And she's just such a larger-than-life character that poor old Sherlock, who's played well by Henry Cavill, he almost fades completely into the background of this story. So it's all set in the late 19th century, and we meet our teenage Enola, who lives a pretty idyllic, carefree life in an old, dilapidated country mansion with her fiercely unconventional feminist mother, played by the wonderful Helena Bonham Carter. As Enola soon finds out, her mother's politics have led her to become heavily involved in the suffragette movement. And when her mum goes missing, Enola is determined to find out why. She escapes the grasp of her pretty hopeless brothers, to be honest, Sherlock and the really horrible Mycroft, who's played wonderfully by Sam Claflin.
Oh, he's the older brother, isn't he,
Mycroft? Yeah, yeah. Yes. Oh, he's awful in this.
He's a member of the Diogenes Club, isn't it? The club for the most unsociable men in London.
He lives up to the reputation. He's absolutely slimy and mean. So she's had a gutful of these blokes, and she basically steals a bike, dresses as a boy, and heads to London to find her mum, as you do. Mm-hmm. So on the way there, she meets the young Viscount Tewkesbury, which is a very proper name, played by a great young actor called Louis Partridge, and that throws another spanner into the works. So look, the film is based on the popular novel by an author called Nancy Springer of the same name, and while it doesn't really hide its interest in feminism, there's nothing hard or angry about this. It's got a really fun girl power spirit. There's nothing about Enola Holmes. It ever feels like it's trying to hit us over the head with a hammer with its politics. She's just a really great, strong character who happens to be female and be telling a story about being female.
Okay, so the point of her being Enola, the point of her being Sherlock Holmes' little sister is just so that what? So that nothing? Or is she a detective in his mould, is she?
Yeah, well, so she investigates her mother's disappearance because the brothers aren't really that helpful. So it's very much a case of a young woman, she idolises her brother.
Right.
She's got a scrapbook of all of his news stories, all the newspaper clippings. But they're really not that helpful in her trying to solve the mystery, and they don't really include her. They exclude her because she's a girl. They think she's this sort of little flibbertigibbet. And she, her mother taught her that was not how this works. Be strong, be brave, and basically what she does. And so much of the story, even though it's focused on Enola, a lot of the story really hinges around Sherlock learning that precise lesson. He states throughout the film numerous times that he's not political, he's not interested in politics, and it's made very clear that he doesn't really have a choice. Sometimes politics affects your life, and you actually have to take a stand. Mm. But it does this in this really joyful way.
What's Sherlock doing all the time that Enola's looking for the mother?
To start with, I think he's very standoffish. But what I would say, without giving away too much of the fun of the story, is he's learning. He's actually learning not just about his mother and his sister, but he's learning what women can do and what they're not allowed to do, and the way that women, such as those in his very own family, the way that they can find little tricks. They can dress as a boy. They can steal a bike. They can run away and catch a train to London. That they have to struggle with different things that he does as a detective himself.
Okay, one for the family, I guess. This is a bit from Enola Holmes.
Why did you never visit? I lead a busy life.
Why did you never write?
Would you have cared for my letters?
I have kept every clipping of every case of yours I could ever find.
That's flattering.
And yet, it took our mother's disappearance to bring you home. She meant to go. She's not coming back.
No. But the truth is, Mother always had a reason for everything. Her own way of doing things. And those kind of mysteries are always the most satisfying to unpick.
I don't want a mystery, Sherlock. I want my mother back here and my life as it was.
You're being emotional. It's understandable, but unnecessary.
Oh, dear. All right. Sherlock being at his most Sherlock. The boys in the band. What's this one?
This one is a really, really big deal. It's really hard to overstate just how big and how important the original play of The Boys of the Band is in gay history and the representation of gay characters more generally. This was an original play. It was first staged in 1968 in New York, and it was hugely controversial then. A lot of people didn't want to have anything to do with it. They didn't want to star in it. And very soon after that, they made a film adaptation in 1970 with a gentleman as director called William Friedkin, who's more famous for a very different film called The Exorcist. But yeah, 1970, around this period, he was adapting plays. He also did a Pinter play around this time. So marking the 50th anniversary of the original film release of The Boys in the Band, this new Netflix version is directed by Joe Mantello and reunites him with the cast of the 2018 Broadway stage production. Now, the story is really iconic, and it follows a group of gay male friends who get together at Michael's apartment, played by Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory, to celebrate the birthday of Harold, who's played by Zachary Quinto. Things take a very dramatic turn, however, when an old university friend of Michael's turns up, who's not only a massive homophobe, but he doesn't know Michael is gay. So, as you can imagine, the anxiety that that produces, you can pretty much turn that up to 11, and you start to get a vague idea of just how intense the boys in the band is. With their inhibitions gone, the group just go for the jugular, and all the insecurities, resentments, and inner workings of a whole range of complex relationships just rush to the surface. This is a really superb film, but I think the big difference is, of course, is that while the original play and the film version, the first film version, they were set in the time that they were made, this film is different because it's really a period piece. This is a contemporary film made in, you know, released in 2020 that's set in 1960. So instead of examining gay identity politics today, this film is actually more successful in that it's almost a kind of a history lesson about some things that we might have forgotten. So if we keep in mind that this was a period before Stonewall, before the AIDS epidemic, it's a really fascinating window into the evolution of gay identity. And it's almost a little microcosm of the gay community before these really massive factors came into play.
All right, Boys in the Band. This is a little from the movie.
Hey, everybody. Game time. We all have to call the one person we truly believe we have loved.
My God, Michael, you're a charming host.
Who makes the first call? If you make the call, you get 1 point.
I'm not playing.
Who'd you call, Hank? Would you call me?
If the person answers, you get 2 more points.
I just wanted to tell him that... To tell him that I
love him. If you tell them that you love them, you get a bonus. Who are you going to call, Alan? You ended the friendship because you couldn't face the truth about yourself.
I'm sorry. I love you.
Hank, why did you do that?
Because I do love him, and I don't care who knows it.
Okay, Boys in the Band. It's also on Netflix, by the way. Now, to The War of the Worlds. Now, this is the H.G. Wells science fiction novel, which was published back in 1897. But, gee, we keep coming back to it. Why? Why, Alex?
I'm obsessed with this. I'm really obsessed with this obsession, this cultural endurance of this story that we, like you say, we just keep coming back to it. There was, of course, the 2005 Steven Spielberg version with Tom Cruise, big blockbuster, famously tapped into September 11 anxieties. There was a version in 1953 which drew very heavily on parallels with the Cold War and the fears in the United States about that. And my favourite is, of course, famous to some people. I was going to say it's very famous, but maybe it's a bit niche. It's famous to those interested in the niche. In 1938, Orson Welles broadcast a very notorious radio play version.
He did, which...
and I'm obsessed with this. It's on YouTube. You can listen to it. It's really worth it. So he basically, it's a radio play that he framed as a live news broadcast. And very, very famously, people thought it was a live news broadcast.
They did. They became very alarmed, didn't they?
It was chaotic. It was absolute pandemonium. And he was very, very clever about it. And it's a minor obsession of mine. We just keep coming back to this, especially at times of crisis. And I think that that's a really useful way to frame this new version, which is a dual French-English language remake of War of the Worlds.
So is it a film, a series? What is it?
It's a series. Okay. It's a series. And a second part, a second series has just been confirmed, I believe, which will be very interesting. Mm-hmm. What's so amazing about this is that it was actually made before COVID-19, before the pandemic broke out. And when you watch it, that almost feels impossible, because it feels like it's so tapped in, like the Steven Spielberg version, you know, like the 50s Cold War version. It feels like it's speaking to now in such a direct way. You know, we watch these empty streets as survivors cower and turn to scientists as really as the only hope that humanity has to survive. It's actually quite an eerie watch, but it's also a very brilliant one. And the cast is really superb. It has actors like Gabriel Byrne and Elizabeth McGovern. And as I said, it's in both French and English. So we have a cast of French speakers and English language speakers, and they play a range of characters from different class and cultural backgrounds who are all trying to survive this terrifying alien invasion.
Yeah, because the basic story here is of course just that, isn't it? Aliens come to Earth, and we can't stop them. They begin to take over the world. It's actually terrifying. It was when H.G. Wells wrote about it in 1897. I guess it still is it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's genuinely, I think even, I think it would be difficult to step away from the reality that we're living in 2020 when you watch this new series, because it's so, you know, these empty streets and people are scared to go outside. It's probably not something to watch if you're in a bit of a delicate mood.
Mm.
But if you're a bit of, you know, if you're feeling a bit tough, it's genuinely fascinating that this one story just it's over 120 years since this was first published, and we just keep coming back to it.
It taps into something very primal about the notion of an alien invasion, doesn't it? Uh-huh. Whether it's a pandemic such as we're currently going through or something else.
Absolutely. And I think it's about the psychology of trauma and the psychology of fear and how we work or don't work together as individuals. You know, does community come together? Does community break apart? All of those questions. So it's not just the fear of the aliens, whatever metaphor we want to use to, you know, to think of the aliens through. It's also just about humanity.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, this is a little from it. The War of the Worlds. It's on SBS On Demand.
Ladies and gentlemen, it seems that something has arrived in England.
A shooting star.
Do you think it could be from Mars?
Something can erupt from Mars and end up in Surrey. There's something inside. It's opening.
This is nothing to be concerned about.
They are coming! Ready? Fire!
Die! Is this the wages of our sin?
Yeah, me. It's very full on. How many parts is it?
I think it's 8 parts.
Right,
I'm going from memory there.
Mm. All right, War of the Worlds. It's on SBS On Demand, so you can get that. Now, stars, well, it's based on what we've seen so far. How would you rate it?
I would give War of the Worlds 4 out of 5.
Wow,
and
okay.
I give both Enola Holmes and Boys in the Band 3.5 out of 5. All worth a watch.
All worth a watch, exactly. All right, Alex, terrific to talk, and look forward to talking again soon.
Lovely. Thanks, Philip.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.